Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. What a joy it is to be with you and be able to continue our series, Refuel. What a great title. I think all of us, regardless of the seasons, the time, whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, there comes a point in our life when we can get weary and tired and we just need to literally refuel. We just need to lean into God and lean into His Word. And I truly believe that God has got a word for you today. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 27. Let me read verses 1 through 6 to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His secret tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I want to speak this morning about being triumphant in trouble. I've long believed and come to know through life's experience that you can't grow up without resistance to a problem. The reality is we all go through stuff. We all face circumstances. Sometimes we find our storm. Sometimes the storm finds us. But the truth is we've all been in trouble. And let's be honest, some of us have been the ones that have caused the trouble. And here in this psalm, this beautiful psalm, we get a great insight into the life of David. Because David helps us to understand something that now we're familiar with, that sadly bad things happen to good people. I don't understand that fully. I've seen the best of folks, the most righteous of folks, good living, people that trust in Jesus, and sadly bad things happen in the world. And then the psalmist also said that he looked on and he observed that the wicked prosper. Why is it that sometimes good things happen to bad people? Go figure it out. But I've discovered this. Everyone in their life, somewhere along the journey, faces trouble. Trouble is equal opportunity. Trouble is no respecter of people. It falls on the righteous. It falls on the unrighteous, on the rich, on the poor, whether you're black or white, whether you're Scottish or English. I've discovered that trouble is color blind. No wonder in the book of Job we read these words, man is born to trouble. And serving the purposes of God, being a minister for a number of years, I've discovered this, that though I love God with all my heart, and God looks after me, and He protects me, and He guides me, being a Christian does not mean that you are exempt from trouble. That's why Jesus says, in this world, you will face trouble. The psalmist elsewhere in Psalm 119 said these words, it was good for me to be afflicted or to be in trouble, so that I might learn your decrees. In Psalm 4, he says, in my distress, you have enlarged me. If we're wise, we'll realize that growth comes through our response to distress and trouble. Trouble is going to come our way. Challenge is going to come our way. Disappointment is going to come our way. But how we react, how we respond is going to make the difference as to how we deal with that situation. We would love to say, God, will you deliver me? And I've often discovered that it's in the midst of my trouble that God develops me. He helps me to grow and mature. He works on my character. He works on my outlook. I've learned to lean, as the old chorus says, learning to lean on Jesus. You see, trouble can be your master or it can be your servant. We can learn from it. We can look at the situation. Yes, it may come into our world, but I believe that in the midst of every situation of trouble, there's something that we can learn. Now, let me be very clear this morning before I get into this. I'm not talking about foolish behavior, a pattern of behavior that is ungodly. I'm not talking about wrong attitudes. That's like when the Apostle Paul had to write to the church when they said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. I'm not saying that because God develops us in trouble, then let's just get into trouble. Let's help God. The more trouble I'm in, the more God gets to develop me. No, that's not the way I'm talking this morning or thinking. I'm talking about people that have a heart for God, a longing for God, are walking with God and want to grow in God and want to understand that these troubles that we go through, these circumstances that all of us face in life can help us to become actually more Christ-like. David faced a lot of trouble in his life. You just need to read his story. He had trouble with his wife. He had trouble with his children. One of his sons led a rebellion against him. People, his dear friends, they turned on him. And David had a lot of problems just with himself. Come on. The biggest trouble in my world has come from me. My reactions, my responses. Yet, David had a fascinating, honest response to the things that he faced. Listen to this again. David said, it was good for me to go through trouble. How could David say that? Rebellion, disappointment, challenges, betrayed. David, how could you say it's good to go through trouble? I'll tell you why. Because sometimes we can only discover things about God as we go through these times of trouble. And I've just made a decision in my life, and I trust you will as well. If I've got to go through it, I want to learn every lesson God's got for me. I don't want to waste that moment of trouble. If I find myself in it, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me understanding? What can I learn from this moment, from this time, from this situation, from this disappointment? Lord, I'm feeling overwhelmed, but if I'm going to be in it, Lord, I want to learn from it. If I fail the test, God, help me to get the answers right the next time. If I'm facing a financial challenge, Lord, give me wisdom how to handle the situation. If I'm making a misstep, God, will you direct my path? Lord, help me not to make that mistake again. Lord, if it's my bad choices that have caused this point of trouble, Lord, can I learn and be wise enough not to make that same mistake again? I've discovered that it's in my times of trouble that I really lean into God. I love to pray. I love to spend time in His presence. But I've noticed that it's in the challenging times, the valley times, the confusing times, the painful times, the stormy days. I tell you what, my prayers go to another level. I lean into God. Because I realize that I am not sufficient in myself and I can depend solely only on Him. I've also discovered as a minister and pastor for a number of years that the gateway to leadership is protected by many problems. Between calling and commission, you go through God's college called life, just ask Joseph that. Between the promise and the provision, often there's a problem. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. That's a strong title, isn't it? A messenger of Satan to torment me. The Apostle Paul, called by God, used by God, mighty in word and deed, my goodness, went to the third heaven, seen things that it's not natural for man to see or express. He was incredibly gifted by God, used for God's purpose, yet in the midst of all that being used by God, he discovered that he had a thorn in his flesh. Smith Wigglesworth, he was an incredible healing evangelist. He was a Yorkshire man. He was a plumber by trade, a mighty Pentecostal, and God used him in faith and power, signs and wonders. He would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. He laid his hands on people that were dead and they were resurrected to life. Isn't that incredible? You would think that a man like that would not have any problems, but he suffered from kidney stones. And I read a record that said that while some of his friends were with him just before he was to get up and preach, and he was passing blood before the meetings, he was in such severe pain. Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, suffered terribly from gout. One reading tells me that one time it was so severe that he literally had to stand and preach on one leg because of the pain. Tom Dempsey, you don't know his name, he kicked the longest field goal in NFL history, that's American football, in 1970, a record that stood for 40 years. But get this, he had a disability. He only had half a foot. And Franklin D. Roosevelt, he became the president of the USA. And guess what? He was in a wheelchair. What am I saying to you this morning? That regardless of what you're going through, Christian, loving God, serving God, the calling to your purpose does not mean the absence of pain. And even a disability is not a restriction to what you can accomplish in this life. Somewhere, something in the administration of God tells me that the bigger the purpose, the bigger the promise, listen to this, the bigger the problem. Diamonds are made from carbon, heat, and pressure. In order to have olive oil, there has got to be a crushing. The majority of natural pearls are formed in oysters, listen to this, as a response to an irritation. I need to say that again. The majority of natural pearls are formed in oysters as a response to an irritation. I think that's the word of the Lord for someone. Adam and Eve had an incredible promise that they would rule and reign. They had a problem. He was called the serpent. Abraham had a promise that God was going to give him a son. The problem? His wife was barren. David had a promise that he was going to be king. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel. But there was a problem. There was already a king on the throne called Saul who despised David, chased David, wanted to kill David. When we get married, we stand at the altar and we make this incredible promise. I will. Come on. I do. Sometimes we discover there's problems, don't we? Thunderbolts and lightning. Yeah, very, very frightening. The Bible says children are the promise of God. They're the blessing of God. I tell you what, don't know about you, but when my kids were young, I needed that fridge magnet. There were times that I didn't see them as a blessing. And then James, the book of James, he tells us this wonderful thing that we can profit from trials. He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Whatever you're going through, count it pure joy. Now I'm going to be honest here. I've gone through a lot of stuff that I haven't considered it pure joy. It's been an irritation. It's got me down. It's got me annoyed. But here James says, when you're going through stuff, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, count it pure joy. Why? Because it's going to produce something. What are my troubles going to produce? What are these challenges in life going to produce? Well, James says, they're going to produce patience. The reality is that trials will always produce something. Are you going to let it produce the fruit of the Spirit that may be developed in our lives that we become more Christ-like? What is the purpose of patience? Well, James tells us that we become mature and complete, lacking nothing. You see, the Christian journey is one of coming into a place of maturity, of growing in Him. Long-term immaturity has no place in the life of a Christian. Therefore, I have got to consider when I go through trials and tests and challenges, I've got to get the Christ-like mindset. This is pure joy because it's going to produce in me patience, which is going to help me mature and become more Christ-like. So back to Psalm 27. What do you do in times of trouble? Where do we run to? Who do we run to? Well, verse 5 says it so well. For in day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Some of you will be a certain age that you remember a church life when we used to sing that chorus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Here is the promise of God, and here's what the psalmist said. When I find myself in trouble, I'm not going to run from God, I'm going to run to God. Why? Because he is a place of refuge. He is a place of safety, and God is going to hide me. My friend, if you're facing trouble right now, don't run from God, run to God. If you feel condemned, if your heart condemns you, if you feel that you have messed up and you've got it wrong, the beautiful thought is this, that God has a door that is wide open waiting for you to come to that place of safety and security. Why? Because God has a plan of rescue. God had already worked out his plan before I ever got there. God had already made provision for me before I ever needed it. And David recognized that God was his covering. My friend, God's got you covered. It's just like the screensaver that we put over our phones. And I was speaking to a friend a wee while ago, and I thought his phone was cracked. And he says, no, it's not the phone that's cracked. It's only the screensaver. The screensaver had it covered. And I believe that that's the word for someone right now. You feel broken and you feel in a mess and you're looking at life and you're saying, how will I ever get this together? The good thing is this, God has got you covered. Why? Because he's protecting us. And God is protecting you just like you. How many times have you seen a little child run to a parent and cling to them, and the parent will put their arm around them, covering them. You see, God is protecting you. If you find yourself in trouble, listen, God is a very present help, the Bible says, in time of trouble. God doesn't desert you. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't abandon you. What happens in our time of trouble? He's a very present help. And the psalmist says, in my time of trouble, I know to run to God because he's going to protect me. And then the psalmist said, he's going to set my feet upon a rock. I love that because not only does he protect us, but he positions us. You see, you may feel that because of your troubles that you're on shaky ground, that you're on sinking sand. But the psalmist says, no, God is our rock. And because we run to him, because we run to the right place, here's what he does. He positions us on a rock. I love that. That's why the hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My friend, because I can trust God in all things, I know that he will cover me and he will comfort me. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. He knew that we all faced heart trouble. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In times of trouble, come to him. He is our pavilion. He is our safety. He is our security. And because he is the rock, he sets our feet upon the rock. And then in verse 6, the psalmist said, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Do you see how this whole thing has turned and changed? We've gone from being in trouble, going through trouble, coming to God. And when we get to God, he positions us. He sets us on the rock. And then notice what he does. He lifts our head. You see, David had his haters. Saul was chasing him. And often when you're going through trouble and difficulty, it's so easy that our heads go down. We feel the weight and the burden of the troubles, and our head goes down. And before we know it, we begin to lose our focus. But this scripture says, just like it says in Psalm 23, that he's the lifter of our head. It's like, have you ever noticed when little children, perhaps when they're being a wee bit naughty and parents are trying to get their attention and kids are looking everywhere, and the parents will say these incredible words, "Look at me." That's about focus. And maybe because of your troubles, that you're looking all around and you've lost sight of God. And here's what God is saying, "Look at me." And here's what he wants to do. He wants to lift your head. Oh, your head is down. Disappointment. Your head is down. Confused. Your head is down. Don't know how to go forward. Your head is down. And the psalmist is saying, listen, when you come to God, come to his pavilion. Come to his place of safety. And let him lift your head. Help you to get true focus once again. My emotions are manipulated and I lose my focus. Perhaps I feel less than. Look to him. My friend, I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence. I belong to Jesus. And when I look at him and when I look into his face and when I see the smile and the pleasure that he takes in me, it reminds me whatever is going on around me, he's got me because I am a child of God. You need to realize who you belong to this morning. And then the psalmist says, I run to the pavilion. He sets my feet upon the rock. He lifts my head. And then what happens? The psalmist says, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Listen, when you get into the presence of Jesus, when you are surrounded by him, when you get your eyes off of the external of what is happening around you, and when you get your eyes on Jesus, I tell you, songs will burst forth. Joy will come from within. No longer is it what you see through the natural eye, but you can sing through the by faith, believing, exalting, declaring the joy of the Lord. Listen, the devil's after your song. The devil wants your joy. That's why I truly believe that there is power in the sacrifice of praise. That's why in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas found themselves in jail, the Bible says at the midnight hour, when everyone else would be complaining or full of anxiety or bitter because of their situation, what did these two great men of God do? They didn't talk about what was happening to them. Bible says at the midnight hour, they began to sing praises to God. And the Bible says that all the other prisoners were listening to them. You see, sometimes when we go through problems and troubles, sometimes our response is not only for us, but for those that are around us. You see, as Christians, people are looking on. When you face trouble, will you respond just like everyone else does? When you face challenge, will you respond and react just like everyone else does? Or as a Christian, will you come to God and will you allow him to do a work that others that do not know God look on and say, that's what makes the difference? Paul and Silas are singing praises, and the other prisoners that were probably grumbling and complaining are amazed at the response that they have. My friend, trouble is going to come. Challenge is going to come. It's a reality of life. But will we come to God and allow him to hide us, position us, lift our head, that a song may flow from our heart, I trust God. And as you're listening to my voice, I wonder, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? Are you a child of God? Or would you say this morning, Neil, I've been going through so much stuff. I can't do it anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I can't get through this on my own strength. And that's the truth. I need to hand my life to God. I need to come to him. Well, I would love to pray with you right now. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord. I make you my King. I no longer run from you, but I run to you. You are my master. In Jesus' name, amen.